1 Peter Bible Study, Part 19, Rules for Elders and Laity, for lay leaders and deacons to conduct after the Sunday service or during a midweek Bible study session. Hear the word of our Lord from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. As his parting instructions begin, St. Peter turns to the conduct of church authorities. He's an apostle. He has the responsibility to convey what our Lord Jesus conveys to him and teaches him, bringing that to all the other churches. But he does so by exhortation, not compulsion. He does not lord himself over the congregations of Asia Minor, saying, "I'm an apostle, do what I say, rah, rah, rah." Instead, St. Peter informs them of who they are and what they are to do according to the position God has given them. In this sense, St. Peter teaches by example as he teaches by text. Verses 1 through 3 say, "So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock." So let's talk about the term elder first. Is St. Peter telling us we must all be Presbyterians? Because after all, he says the word elder, therefore there must be an office of elder in the church. No. If you want to have an office of elder in your congregation, your home church, okay, you can do that. You can have that. You have Christian freedom to establish that as an office and give it responsibilities. But St. Peter is an apostle, and he calls himself a fellow elder. He could have said, "I exhort the elders, and the pastors, and the deacons, and bishops everywhere, just as I am exhorted as an apostle." And that would have conveyed the same sense of the text. He is speaking as somebody with authority in the church, and he speaks to people that have authority. Elders. We must think of this in an expansive way, not necessarily to obliterate the differences between these offices, but to say that the same rule applies to them, even though their responsibilities and their duties are different. See, all of these offices have their responsibilities. Pastors are ordained to the ministry of word and sacrament. Deacons are ordained to sacrament and church administration. And yes, for the deacons in the Catacomb Synod, that includes passing along messages given to them, as St. Stephen does in Acts chapter 7. And then there are bishops that oversee all the activities under their purview, having synodical authority, and they also function as theologians. If a congregation should have elders, again, that's fine. You can have elders or presbyters if you want to have a unique responsibility being fulfilled, but as you're giving a man authority in the church, That means this passage also applies to that presbyter. Now, much is made and said by the churches today about the hierarchical structure of the church as presented in the New Testament. The Roman Catholics love to talk about this because they love their pope. The Eastern Orthodox, they love to talk about this because they love their metropolitans and their archbishops. Not much, however, is said about the limitations inherent in the offices, mostly because clergy historically doesn't like to talk about what it is not allowed to do. Oh my goodness, do they hate that? Wars have been fought over the Pope not wanting to cede a single inch from his authority. But nonetheless, St. Peter writes about it, and so we must talk about it. God wants willing ministers with good attitudes. A minister who lacks proper motivation and a drive, while he is less qualified for his office than he was when he had a good attitude. He should be there because he wants to serve God, not because he wants money. He should never greedily demand more money than is necessary for his employ. And St. Peter also says that ministers are not to be domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. So every single pastor in history who has pulled rank and said, I'm the guy with the collar, you're not, do what I say, or else. St. Peter here condemns him. Any priest, any bishop, any of them out there that have lorded their power over other people, especially the laity, is condemned here. No pastor is the vicar of Christ, as the Pope supposes he is. Though the pastor speaks on behalf of God by the ministry of the word, he does not do so as though he were God. He cannot send out fiery serpents to bite the people if they disobey. He cannot force people to do stuff and harshly punish them for disobeying him. Remember that the pastoral office and any other office deemed elder by St. Peter is part of the right-hand kingdom of God, and the right-hand kingdom of God is not a kingdom of force. Christianity is not a religion of the sword, so instead of taking crowns for themselves, pastors are to lead by example, not by diktat. Even in matters of church discipline, I may add, because the instructions for church discipline, putting people under the ban and things like that, that's 1 Corinthians. Those instructions are laid at congregations, not pastors. And of course, the pastor is the guiding hand in all of that. Yes, he does carry out the administrative office of the keys, but that office belongs to all Christians, not just pastors. When we say that the function of the pastor as the public minister of word and sacrament equals him having this lordship authority over the laity, we have most certainly missed the mark as to what pastors are supposed to do, and we have sown left-hand power into a right-hand office. We shouldn't be doing that. But I digress. Verse 4, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Now it is plain to see that our Lord rewards those who seek him by faith and earnestly desire to please him. That's Hebrews 11, verse 6. That applies double to pastors and to all elders, to all ministers in the church. If they faithfully fulfill their office, they are rewarded extra over your standard saint. In fact, I would say it is a great reward. He calls it an unfading crown of glory. St. Peter does, who in Revelation is counted among the elders wearing crowns sitting on thrones in heaven. So, having been given great power and authority, and being slated for even greater power and authority in heaven, St. Peter is effectively telling us that the offices of ministry are high risk, high reward. And St. James will have much to say about that in James chapter 3, verse 1, where he says, well, there's a stricter judgment for people who would presume to teach in the church. So it is with faithful ministers today. It is high risk, high reward. There is judgment and there is strictness about what you do. You are going to receive a crown of glory and great good coming to you if you are faithful. Now, verse 5 says, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The term younger here does not mean, hey, LOL, young guys should listen to old guys. Maybe that is genuinely true in most cases, except there are also stupid old people, and there are also very smart young people. But the same way that St. Peter uses the term elder to denote somebody with authority in the church, younger is a term denoting laity, people that do not have this authority, especially if they are new converts. So, they are instructed to be subject to the elders, to submit to them. Previously, the Pharisees inhabited the seat of Moses, as our Lord Christ says in Matthew 23, verse 2. Now it is the elders in the church who do. And while the elders are not permitted to boss people around, their instructions are by example and by teaching. The laity are to see good example and good teaching and follow both. They are not to follow a pastor's bad example or unscriptural teaching, just as Christ instructed people to listen to the Pharisees, but also did not mean that they should believe in Pharisaism or sin in the way these teachers did. So if it is a sin for clergy to pull rank against their laity, it is an even worse sin for laity to try to push their pastors around. You are supposed to be, if you are a layman, humble, facing upward. If you are a minister, you are to be humble, facing downward. If you fail to do so as a layman, attacking ministers on account of some semi-Pentecostal pretension of superiority over pastors, that is you failing to know your place in the church. Now, that doesn't mean that laity cannot hold ministers accountable, but if you do hold your minister accountable for some failure of his, it must be according to God's word and will, not according to a disagreement on some political matter or the color of the tapestry outside of the church. Instead, it should be according to the word of God. There are churches that have seen pastors thrown out for the pastor having some secular opinion that didn't matter and wasn't brought up at church. It's stupid when laity does that sort of thing. The same way it's awful when a pastor says, I need somebody, and you're the perfect guy to do it, to mow my lawn for me this weekend. Could you do that for me? Thanks. Because I'm the pastor and you're not. Please go ahead, mow my lawn. There are legit pastors that do that, the same way that there are laity that say, you know, you like a video game, Pastor, and pastors shouldn't like video games. You need to quit video games, Pastor. How dare you? You're probably going to hell. We hear that all the time, and it sounds stupid, but it has been a problem for long enough that even St. Peter himself, the head of the apostles, has to write about it, telling everybody to clothe themselves with humility. Which is why, exactly as St. James does in James 4, 6, he quotes Proverbs 3, verse 34, the Septuagint translation, saying, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Simply put, a church is not functioning as a Christian church if ministers and laity are not humble. If you're not expressing agape love toward one another by having an accurate view of your office and using it correctly, even if you are laity, well, God's going to oppose you. He's going to frustrate every single thing you do. So as a Christian, whether you are a minister, a deacon, a pastor, an elder, a bishop, whatever you are, you have to be humble. And if you are a layman, you have to be humble. Everybody's got to fulfill their duties in their offices according to that mindset, joyfully, I might add, or else God is going to look at you getting too big for your britches, taking the duties and authority of an office that you do not have, and he's going to go, oh, all right, I'm going to make you fruitless now. Nothing is going to work. You are not going to get anywhere. Have a nice day, I guess, while your church falls apart or you repent one thing or another. I find it interesting that St. Peter ends this pericope with such a stark warning. It's clothed in gentle terms, but it is an incredibly stark warning to us if we are tempted to get too big for our britches. And he will speak more about humility as we speak on verse 6 and onward next week. But until then, our Lord bless you and keep you. Amen and amen.